Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It is the Bat Tuesday edition of the Triple Option. We play jams from our sister station, The Bat, or that you would hear, I should say, on our sister station, The Bat. You can always watch the Triple Option with RBKD. The best way to watch the Triple Option, simply to go to hornfm.com, and that way you can tap into the Twitch stream. Should be a link there. We'll make it real easy for you to watch the Triple Option. You also can keep up with the Triple Option, all of us individually, via Twitter. BK is at Brad Kellner. He's the real MVP. You can hit me at Rod Babers, and you can hit Kevin Dunn at Kevin Dunn 01. All right, gentlemen. A lot of these, all these Power Five and Group of Five schools in college football are about to be drinking through a fire hose because recently, starting June 1st, the college football world is going to allow on-campus recruiting again. On-campus visits start today. Well, technically, they can't start today, but I believe this weekend they'll start up for the Longhorns officially. It's going to be, well, for everybody, because they haven't been able to have on-campus visits for, I don't know exactly how long it's been. I'm assuming it's been upwards of a year plus while COVID was going on. So now you're going to have official and unofficial visits happening June 4th. So each day of June will be action-packed. This is according to my man Mike Roach. Does a great job covering Texas recruiting over at Horns 24/7. He said this will be the first time Steve Sarkisian and his staff are able to get in front of kids and to show off the University of Texas, actually showing off the university, giving official visits or hosting official visits, I should say. He goes on to say, or at least to name some of the prospects or some of the possible the possible commits, I should say, for Texas. Kamar Wheaton made his way to campus back in March, and he claims that was the last visit that the Longhorns had from a prospect that was on campus. Other than that, they have not hosted any of the players. He points out June 3rd, they're going to be hosting a big-time defensive end prospect, David Hicks Jr. He's from Allen. He's a five-star defensive end prospect in the one of their top targets in the 2023 class. Hicks and his father are making a trip to Austin, says Mike Roach, and he said he should get some one-on-one time with the coaching staff before their official visitors arrive for the weekend. Hicks is a must-land prospect for the Longhorns, and they will be one of the first schools to get a visit from him this summer, claims my man Mike Roach.
I'm excited, guys. It's been a long time coming. You said it right there, Rod B. March, the last time Texas had an official visitor on campus. Drinking out of a fire hose might be an understatement. We're talking fire hydrant here. You're opening that thing and you're putting your mouth right up to it and chugging away.
Watch Don't they out. Hook the hose to the hydrant?
Yeah. You're skipping the middleman.
Second time talking about hose today.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
We do like hose. Multiple kinds. Garden tools.
The socks.
Socks.
Yeah.
Tell fire. About the That's it. Nothing else.
Yeah.
If you guys were curious.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't be getting any other ideas.
Keep it classy. In Chicago, I remember in the summer, it would get like 95 or 96 there, and on the news, they would just open up fire hydrants. Mm-hmm. So not even a hose.
No. Just so the kids can cool off. Everybody can cool off. It's pretty
awesome.
Good.
Love that is awesome. Bit. Love that bit. But it's about to be crazy, guys. And every weekend in the month of June is going to be jam-packed for Texas. There are a couple of massive, massive weekends. June 11th through the 13th is the biggest weekend for the class of 2023. The biggest attendee, or at least expected attendee for that weekend, Arch Manning. And then the following weekend, June 18th and 19th, that's the biggest weekend for the class of 2022. Malik Murphy's going to be here. Jaden Blue is going to be here as well. So you have a couple of guys who are already committed on campus, but also just a ton of blue chip guys from all over the country in the class of 2022 who will be on campus. It's big time right here. It is absolutely big time. You know, last year was a year, KD, that we've never seen in terms of recruitment, right? I mean, guys were committing and signing to schools without ever taking a visit to the campus, without ever stepping foot on campus or meeting their coaches in person. Now we're getting back to normalcy, and there are a lot of people who have waited a long time to take these visits. It's about to be crazy and an early test for Steve Sarkisian and this new staff.
Yeah, the Jeff Banks. I mean, look, he put together a great recruiting staff. I don't think we questioned that at all whenever he put the staff together. In fact, he may have even said, okay, is this too much Mack Brown and the 98 staff? But so recruiting should not be an issue. It'll be a good test for them. And honestly, timing-wise, you look at last year, considering where Herman was and what happened, it couldn't have been better timing if you had to miss out on a year for it to be the last year of a guy, and there were already questions about where Texas was. We talked about Garrett Wilson earlier. So with the transfer portal being open, even if you would have snagged guys last year, who knows if they'd still be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm excited, man. I mean, for this coaching staff, look, we've got some ace recruiters. You talked about Jeff Banks, KD. I think Sark is going to do a phenomenal job as a recruiter. Pete Kwiatkowski, not known for being a great recruiter, but I think the combination of his track record, what he was able to do at Washington, how many guys he was able to develop into NFL draft picks, combined with everything that Texas has to offer, I think he's going to become a good recruiter as well.
Yeah, Kwiatkowski just needs a wingman, and he has that. So Kwiatkowski's the guy at the bar that is making a lot of money, is a pretty good guy, and there's a lot to like there, but he doesn't know how to talk to girls. So he's got Jeff Banks to sell her on exactly what Kwiatkowski brings to the table.
I like that comparison.
It's a good one.
We'll bring that up to Pete Kwiatkowski next time we talk to him.
I don't think you have any game, Pete.
He likes that one right there. But yeah, I mean, PK was able to develop 2- and 3-star kids into NFL talent, so that's got to be pretty exciting if you're a blue-chip guy. Like, man, he was able to do all of that with a guy with less ability than me. What can he do with me? You know, what type of stuff can I accomplish? So, man, this will be fun. And for Tom Herman, for all of his drawbacks, for all of his faults, and there were plenty, he did such a phenomenal job during his first full recruiting cycle, right? The class of 2018 was the third-ranked class in the country. It was the best class that Texas has had in a decade. He did a phenomenal job, and a big part of his success came from on-campus visits. So we'll see if Sark can do that. Now, he's done this before, right? He's been a head coach before at Washington and USC, but, you know, at Alabama, he wasn't always the guy, right? You had Nick Saban. He kind of sold himself, but Sark wasn't necessarily the ace recruiter there for the Crimson Tide. Now as the head coach, your role increases and expands a lot. So this will be a big test. I mean, wins and losses and player development ultimately are going to be the things that determine whether or not Steve Sarkisian is successful here in Austin. But there are going to be a lot of fans, guys, who are comparing the class of 2022, Sark's first full recruiting cycle, to Tom Herman's class of 2018, his first full recruiting cycle. Whether it's fair or not, that's going to happen. So a lot of people are going to expect, Rod, a top five or maybe even a top three class for Sark this year, and that work starts this week.
Yeah, and the you know, that 2022 class, I've talked about it. It's supposed to be one of the most fertile recruiting classes in the history of the state of Texas. I mean, 24/7 Sports is projecting upwards of 9 5-star recruits just in the state alone in that 2022 class. So if you're Sark, that's the class that could potentially help you build the foundation to rebuild the program, and everything you need is there. And it's not just, you know, those top, obviously, 5-star guys are elite, but you look at just the blue chips, they have a ton of high-caliber players just in the top overall national 100 in that 22 class from the state. Not saying he can't go outside the state to get talent. We know Sark can do that. I mean, he's obviously dipping into California a lot, wants to go into Louisiana more. He's actually made that known, and I think that's a smart decision. But still, he's already said, and I believe it, for Texas to be able to get back to national title contention, you're going to have to start grabbing the elite players from the state. You're going to have to do it. If you can't do that, we just got to talk about the Quinn Ewers comment. If you can't do that, then, yeah, you can make Texas competitive again. But in terms of winning national titles like 2005, that status, you got to start snagging those big dogs, those big-time blue chips from the state, because that creates the trend where other blue chips in the state want to go to Texas. The guy, the next great guy from North Shore or from Houston, Lamar, or from Allen, all right, that pipeline opens up. And that's, you want that to become something that is thought about with regularity for recruits. That no, Texas first, and then I'll look at other stuff. Texas is always my first stop. I always get that official visit to Texas. Sometimes Texas is not even getting official visits from these 5-star guys before they're going out of the state. Yeah. Not even getting consideration before they got to state. That to me is something that's, yeah, that's something you cannot justify, something you can't have happen if you're Texas. Like, that's got every big-time recruit should have to go through Texas and at least give you a shot at them.
Good thing about 9, BK, is that, you know, I mean, for it to be that abnormal of a year, if you land 3 or 4 of those, that's an incredible year. I mean, you usually don't get that many 5-stars, and yet you could still miss out on half of them.
Well, Texas has only gotten 2 of the last 26.
Yeah.
In-state, five stars. So, yeah, if you can land three or four of the nine in this cycle, you'd be feeling pretty damn good if you're Steve Sarkisian. There are five guys. Burgers and fries.
I knew you were going there.
I'm hungry. I didn't want to go there. But I'm hungry. As soon as I said
is
that,
five
my
guys
stomach
good?
Growled. Very good.
Okay.
I don't know if they sponsor anything at the station,
it's
so maybe
burger.
I should be bashing them a little bit.
Get the fries. The Cajun fries. They got Cajun fries. They're really good.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah.
Are we allowed to, like, threaten? Nah, we can't threaten. People who don't sponsor.
Don't
threaten
anybody.
Like, threaten them into sponsor. Like, we're going to talk bad about you if you don't spend your money with the station.
Can't do that.
Okay,
don't
what
do
about
that.
Our sales manager? Will she like that if I do that?
Mm-mm, probably not.
Not.
Okay.
Yeah, she's probably already called on them, and maybe they're thinking about it.
Okay.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
And then you're going to bash them.
They were on the fence until that.
Exactly. We love you, five guys. Huge fan. Spend your money with us. All right, there are five guys, though, that I think are maybe more important than anybody else, and I'm going sans Quinn Ewers with this list.
Uh-oh.
Because number one quarterback in the country, number one player in the country, that guy's going to be on everybody's list. We've talked about him a lot. We've already talked about him on this show. We're going to talk about him a lot moving forward. He's the guy that every Texas fan is going to have a microscope on throughout his entire recruitment. But five guys who really stand out that I think if Sark can land four or five of these guys, we're going to be feeling pretty damn good as Texas fans.
Mm-hmm.
Two of those guys are on the offensive line. You've got Devon Campbell, five-star guard from Arlington Bowie. I think he's a top 12 player in the country. He's actually number eight right now, according to the 24/7 composite. We all know the stats. Texas hasn't had an offensive lineman drafted in the first round since 2002. Devon Campbell seems to be that type of guy. He would have that potential, bringing in a five-star. You can't win in this sport at any level without good offensive line play. We've all seen that. So he's one. Kelvin Banks, five-star offensive lineman from Summer Creek High School in the
greater.
Humble. Humble.
Okay. Humble.
Which one?
They say humble.
Humble.
Is the word humble?
Humble.
Or is the word humble?
I know. They say humble.
Am I humble? Do I have
know.
Humility or humility?
It's weird. I agree with you.
I don't know what's going
they
on
say humble.
Here. All right. From humble. Kelvin Banks, five-star, once committed to Oklahoma State, decommitted last June. Texas A&M very much in the running for Kelvin Banks, but Texas is a top eight finalist. Kelvin Banks will be making an official visit here the weekend of June 18th. Two offensive linemen right there. You'd love those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Denver Harris. Rod B.,
cornerback.
It kills you. It kills all of us. It has to kill you how far behind Texas has fallen in the DBU discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that discussion goes throughout the eyes of history, so you can't ignore what Texas was in the past, but, man, we're a very what-have-you-done-for-me-lately society. And the defensive back room at Texas has not done a lot for us lately.
Mm-hmm.
Denver Harris, a five-star, one of the top 10 players in the country for the class of 2022. Kid out of North Shore, in-state, taking a visit here the 18th. That guy would be huge.
Yep.
Bryce Anderson, a safety, four-star from Beaumont, coming the 18th as well. Texas lean at this point. Alabama's pushing hard. That's another kid I would love, another DBU type of guy. And then Evan Stewart would be the fifth.
Yep.
The one-time Texas commit, a wide receiver from Frisco. High four-star, really, really talented player. Seems like a Texas versus the field type of discussion right now.
Malik working on it.
Malik's working on that one, too. Like, those five, I mean, you want all of them. I'm the type of guy who wants my cake and eat it, too. What else do you do with the cake, by the
way?
Know.
I've never got
of course
that.
You want to eat it if you get a piece of cake. You just want to stare
right.
at it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want my cake and ice cream. I want to eat both of those. We're changing the expression because what it has been for years makes absolutely no sense. I want everybody. I want the top class in the country. But if you can get those five guys, like those guys in-state, all blue-chip guys at positions of need, I think that would be huge, and that would send a message to the current roster but also the future recruits out there that Texas isn't messing around anymore when it comes to in-state kids.
Yeah, I mean, certain positions, and I agree with you about those guys. All those guys will be great. There needs to be a focus, though, on certain positions. And I think offensive line, you address that, and defensive line is where you need to start. You got to start getting some of the elite D-line, O-line talent in the state. I think, actually, Tom Herman did a decent job of that. I mean, Alfred Collins and Vernon Broughton toward the end, he was getting some of those guys. But that Herb Hand recruitment of that 2020 class of offensive linemen where you had 10 blue-chip offensive linemen in the state that year and you didn't get any of them, that that's going to come back to haunt you, because not very often you have a very plentiful, fertile recruiting source at that position in the state. It's a little bit more scattered and sporadic that you get three or four really good offensive linemen in one class. And no, you had your pick of a ton of them and really didn't maximize that opportunity. You got to turn it around with the best offensive linemen and D linemen in the state also are coming to Texas. Are you getting your pick of them?
Yep.
And that's not happening right now. So I agree, BK. If you could get Denver Harris, great. I would focus more of my recruiting on three positions: quarterback, O-line, D-line, because you got to get back there.
Agreed.
That's what's gonna help you beat Clemson, Ohio State. Obviously, wide receiver is really deep. You can find really good wide receivers. I mean, I know the guy that's top of the list. You want to get that guy, but you can find really good wide receiver talent everywhere. Go ask Oklahoma State and TCU. They're producing them too. First-round caliber guys. You can find those guys.
And the scheme should help
out. And the scheme should help you out.
Yeah,
yes.
Who is calling the shots? Well, the person that should be calling the shots for you and your AC is Bryant AC and Electric. It is a one-stop shop for both AC and electrical needs. Over 38 years in business here in Austin. They are lifetime Austinites, second-generation family-run business. Fantastic people. Sometimes you hear, all right, you're almost four decades in. What has the work like been lately? Well, I'll tell you. They won the Chronicle Best of 2019, Local Best in 2018, 2019, and 2020, and they can definitely help you out. They work with every brand of AC unit. They've got same-day service. They've got background check technicians, and the same-day service is huge, especially when this thing starts to get really hot and the AC goes out. You want to make sure you get them out there right away. They'll come out. Give them a call. 512-328-3268, 512-328-3268. It's Bryant AC and Electric. Check them out at bryantacservice.com.
The dead period is over. It's go time for Sark.
The alive period.
Oh, it is the alive.
It's the breathing period.
Is that what we call that? Why do we do that?
I don't know.
Why is it the dead period is over? Why isn't it the alive period has started?
Right.
We're living again.
Or the alive period is quiet. It's the nap period.
Ooh. The nap period. That'd be better.
Yeah, why are we killing off all of our recruits every few months?
I don't know.
It makes no sense. Who's in charge here?
I don't know.
Who wants their cake and eats it too? Who?
And why is it Humble?
I don't know.
They're
weird. Cake, you're dead on.
They're
with
weird
that,
up
BK.
There.
I've always heard that, and I thought, what else do you do with the cake? What am I not doing with my cake? I've just been eating it.
The cake is baked, as Charlie said.
Oh, okay. God.
The cake is baked.
Icing?
Yeah.
Well, that's what the only thing he screwed up. You had one job, Tom Herman, to ice the damn cake, and you messed it up.
And he couldn't ice it. You know why? He didn't let it cool. Gotta let the cake cool. You ever tried an ice a warm cake? You'll be eating that cake right away.
It's a great point. There you go.
What happens?
It breaks apart.
The eggs are so soft.
It'll tear off the top.
It's too moist.
I've never really cared, because usually I'm baking a cake just to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you bake your cake and eat it too?
That's why I bake it.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
What are the other options?
I don't know.
Is it like a one-year-old's birthday party where you just stuff your face in it? Like, is that what else you can do with a cake? Throw it at somebody?
Or it's people, have you ever seen
prop?
People that have, like, it's some memento and it's like a Coke and it's 30 years old, or it's some type of food or drink.
Okay.
And it's like, I got this at the Rangers game.
It's a commemorative, like, whatever.
Why don't you drink the Coke and then just keep the can?
Yeah, that's true. It's a commemorative item for them now. You're right. I've seen
that
before.
That's full of 30-year-old Coke?
I have seen that before.
Yeah, it's a weird bit. One of my buddies growing up kept a water bottle that was drinking by Emmitt Smith.
Wow.
It was completely empty. It was a bottle of Dasani. And he kept it, and he used a label maker and put Emmitt Smith drink here.
That is sick.
And he kept it for like 10 years, and then his dog chewed it up. He was so pissed. I'd never seen him so pissed at anything in his life.
Wow.
And his dog got to a water bottle that had been drinking by Emmitt, or drunk, whatever the... I'm neither of those right now, I promise.
Drunken.
That's great.
By Emmitt Smith.
That's a great story.
And he was pissed.
And he was upset.
And we were all like, why? We all gave him so much crap all the time for having that thing. And I think we all celebrated when we all got to it.
Okay, what year was this? I know this is going to sound weird question, but what year was it?
Oh, I don't know the exact year. Probably early high school for me. So, I don't know, 9 or 10, something like that.
Okay. Because I'm trying to think. These days, honestly, I know it sounds weird and strange, but you probably can go online and sell that and make money in this day and age.
You think so?
Somebody would buy it. Somebody would bid on it and buy it. I guess you probably could have did it back then, too. But
Can you verify it? You've got some shady picture of your buddy, like... having you grab it as Emmett's walking away.
Yeah, dude, people are selling
out of the trash can.
Yeah, people are selling digital images. They just come up without a nowhere. Somebody will buy it. We'll buy anything, dude. We'll buy Emmett Smith's water bottle.
It's bizarre.
It is bizarre. It's bizarre for him to keep it.
What a world we live in.
Yeah, it is. All right, let's get some one and done here. We'll probably get back to that because that's a great point. There are other things like, you know, have your cake and eat it too. I've always heard, and I just thought that makes no sense. What could make sense is for David Pierce to roll the dice. We'll take a look at the Texas Regional, who's going to be here, maybe take a look at the Super Regional. But I really hope that Coach Pierce and that staff, that they roll the dice and get their pitching set up for this regional.
I like that five-star recruit at Kentucky. He's been here, and he's going to stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
Let's go one and done. Good spring for Texas athletics and a great spring for Texas baseball. 14-3 last year when the pandemic ended everything. Year before, not a great year for Texas at all. And we've talked about kind of the overview questions about David Pierce and where this program's going. A lot of that is going to be hypercritical because of the four coaches that coached before him for 100 years. And this was a great answer for David Pierce about the direction, kind of where this program's going. They were helped out with the pandemic, getting guys like Zubia, Todd, getting guys, some veterans back, and also Antico into the fold, and also getting Tanner Witt. But he did a really good job with this club. And one thing David Pierce has done in the past, not only going back to his days at Rice, but also here at Texas, is maybe roll the dice. And one of the cool things that for this Texas team to be able to enjoy the selection show yesterday was, you know what? There's still all the main work is ahead of you. And to separate yourself at this program, it's not only about getting to Omaha, it's about winning in Omaha and doing some damage there and maybe bringing back the school's seventh national title, or at least being more the competitive once you get there. But being able to enjoy that selection show and understand what you accomplished and that you earned this. This is why you're the number two national seed. I wish they would have had it on ESPN2, a video of Texas, but luckily Texas baseball on Twitter put that out later where they showed the guys kind of watching it and enjoying it. And what they got to realize is that you've put yourself in a position that can really help you out. And the biggest thing is most teams are heading into this and they're throwing their ace on the first game. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you're a 2 or 3 seed, you're most likely doing that unless your 1 and 2 pitchers are pretty close and the number two is a lefty and it'll match up better with that team, whatever. But there's not many teams that can say, you know what? We actually may throw our fourth guy and really set up our pitching for this regional. So you assume you win that game and then you throw Ty Madden against, let's say, Arizona State. And then you've got Pete Hansen and you've got Tristan Stevens set up. So even if you lose a game, you're going to get into that other final game, and you still got one of your main reliable three starters. And we kind of talked about this a little bit and hinted at it, but I wanted to see who came here. Because if there is a 4 seed that really hits the ball well, hey, you probably need to go with either Stevens or Hansen. Yeah. I wouldn't go with Madden either way, right? I mean, I would save Ty Madden for that all-important second game in the winner's bracket. We're saying right now it'll be Arizona State beating Fairfield.
You're saying because it's Southern, though, you would go all you wouldn't risk any of the starters.
Rod, you know what they're hitting as a team?
250?
233.
Okay.
You know how many home runs, BK, they've hitting on the year?
Is this Fairfield or Southern?
We're talking Southern.
Southern.
The team Texas will be playing on Friday at 1 o'clock right here on the Horn.
How many home runs has Southern hit?
Yeah.
Well, something a lot of people don't know, Southern's baseball field does not have fences.
Okay,
so it's like the youth baseball field.
Get out of here.
Where you have to hit one a really, really long way and be really, really fast.
But they run well.
Yeah, they do run well.
So you'd think they'd have more.
How many do they have?
4.
Wow.
All season.
That's not true.
What? They play at the Polo Grounds?
They've got a .337 on-base percentage. Wow. They're slugging .311.
Okay.
Not good.
I think you're right there. I think you might be on to something, sir.
Colby Kubicek needs to go on Friday. And if you get in some trouble, maybe you bring in one of your guys. Hell, you can even bring in Stevens if you want. You can bring in one of the other relievers, Rod.
This is the type of scenario I was talking about, that you go with Colby Kubacek. And my guess is, looking at Pierce and what he's done in the past,
yeah,
that's what they're going to do. Yeah, and this, I think it's the right move.
This is the advantage of being a two seed, right? This is,
you earn this.
You earn this. Yeah, now I'm with you on that. And don't waste this opportunity. This is your chance to actually be able to give yourself a leg up with your pitching rotation in the next game. And honestly, in the next few games going forward, set yourself up for success. I'm with you. Don't waste this opportunity. Don't coach scared.
Right.
Because that would be coaching scared if you're afraid to put what your fourth best arm out there in the first game of the regionals, because the matchup says you can handle it. Like
Matchup says the three of us would be their 2-3.
Yeah,
or 4
the chance
hitters.
Of them pulling an upset is minuscule at best.
It is
here.
It's really minuscule.
But I did say I saw Texas basketball lose in the first round.
I know.
In one of the most improbable wins. So, stuff happens, but I'm with you.
Hey, to give David Pierce some credit, Shaka Smart ain't coaching.
Amen. And Texas and Texas basketball ain't Texas baseball.
No,
so
it's
I'm
not.
With you on that. Yes, I think you're right.
That was a great loss for Texas basketball, by the way.
Oh, it was. I said it at the time. Said it the next day.
Sure. Losing to Southern won't be a great loss for Texas baseball.
No, it would not.
Dude,
there's some riots.
You wouldn't hear the turnaround on David Pierce.
With all the fan stories we're hearing about fan misbehavior around sports,
yeah, exactly.
You lose with that place packed at UFCU, those fans go out the damn pool.
Yeah.
All right? You might have Occupy Left Field losing it out there.
Oh, man.
You might climb that fence.
There wouldn't be enough White Claw.
Exactly. No, they'd have to move to Fireball.
They would, which they probably will.
They will do that anyways. I'm not there with Colby Kubacek right now, kid.
I'm not either.
Like, I don't want to get into a situation, and you should be able to beat Southern no problem with Colby Kubacek. Even if he does give up 3 or 4 runs over 4 innings, you should still be able to offense enough to beat that team. I need to come up with a more politically correct way to say this, but B-holes get tight this time of year.
They do. Mm-hmm. They do.
And if you're a starter gives up 3 runs in the top of the first, I don't care that you're playing Southern, you're going to pucker up a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen to this Texas baseball team. So I'd be okay with throwing a Pete Hansen, your number 3 guy. I don't know if I'm okay with throwing Colby Kubacek with what we've seen from him over the last month of the season.
It's an excellent point, and you are right about that. And that is something that people that haven't watched a lot of postseason action, and you obviously have, you don't realize that until you watch a lot of it, and you go, oh my God, these guys act differently when they get down 2-0. Yeah, this is in regular season, and they start counting outs, and they start counting innings. We're down 3 runs in the fourth?
Yeah.
We may lose this thing. Whoa, easy. Couple things to answer that. One, if you're going to go with your number 3 guy, and we're being real about that, then you go with Tristan Stevens, who's been fantastic, and you've been all over him all year long on social media. You've been sliding into DMs, and it's gotten weird.
You made it weird.
Yeah, well, I meant to. So Pete Hansen to me is your number 2 guy right now, so maybe you go with Stevens. But here's the other thing. So there's a couple things. One, the puckering up, you're exactly right about. I don't worry about it with this team because what Rod talked about earlier. This is a veteran team. And so they're veteran guys. And I do think even with their lack of NCAA experience, I think they're going to be able to push through that if they do get down 1 or 2. The other thing is, if Southern had an ace, and a lot of times you'll see an ace,
yeah,
there are going to be some teams in this tournament that have no shot to even win the regional. But they may win that first game because they got a guy pumping 94, and he's got a good breaking ball to go off of it. And you think, oh, God, they're going to be – Ohio State's had teams like that in the past where you look at their offense and the Friday guy and you go, whoa! Then you get to their Saturday and Sunday guy in the bullpen and you go, whoa, okay, I'm wrong about that. Southern has a 5.52 ERA. Their starts are littered through the whole staff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not one guy who has really been a dominant starter. I think you can go with Kubacek, and I actually think that would be the right move. If not, you go with Tristan Stevens. But, guys, reality is Southern's just not a very good baseball team. BK brought it up, the cumulative numbers of what they've done against good teams. They played LSU March 3rd. LSU is not that good this year for an LSU team. They lost 16-1. They played Rice. Rice is not good this year. Now, they did take the Sunday game, so I'll give them that. But they lost 14-2 and 13-4. And then they played Mississippi State. They lost 15-1. They played LSU again. They lost 10-2. they don't match up with teams like this. The Texas offense is going to pound them for about 14 or 15 runs. Colby Kubacek could give up 4 runs, and this thing won't be close. I'm going with Cubs.
Cubs.
Yeah, your logic is dead on there. And we've seen this Texas baseball team be resilient all season long. And in some of those midweek games, like to me, there's so many impressive things that this Texas baseball team did all year long. But the fact that they didn't lose any of those home midweek games to lesser competition was pretty impressive. You don't get excited over wins, 4 wins over Texas State or Lamar or Texas Southern, but it feels like every other good team in college baseball this year lost at least one of those games.
Yep.
So playing Southern is like playing one of those teams. And Texas got down in some of those midweek games, but they always found a way to win. It's the resiliency we always talked about, but I don't know if I can do it, man. I think you're right. I think David Pierce is going to do it, but I'll tell you what. Well, the game's on Friday. Oh, we're doing a show Friday after the game's over. It might be a shortened show.
It's going to be shortened because it's going to be 17-3.
If Texas loses to Southern on Friday, I'm going to destroy David Pierce for starting Colby Kubacek.
Destroy me, too.
Yeah. I'll destroy you, too.
David, he would deserve it. Go with Cubs.
If it don't work, you get the criticism. But when it works, you are a genius. And later on, when your arms are fresher and guys guys have a little bit, a little bit more heat because they got a chance to rest a little bit, you will be the beneficiary. I'm with you. It's a roll of the dice.
The other thing, it is the other thing. The other thing that Southern hasn't seen in 2 years. So even the LSU games, Mississippi State, those are fantastic atmospheres. Dish is going to be rocking.
Rocking.
I will predict right now with this Texas team in their eyes. Because they got good eyes. They got hungry eyes. Eric Carmen type eyes. There you go, right? I want to hear that.
Nice reference.
One look at you.
Was he a smoker?
Yeah, no. Yeah. He had that gravelly voice.
He did.
They're going to be a lot of walks. I'll put the over-under right now. BK, you're a betting man?
Yep.
8 walks.
4 Southern?
Pitching staff.
Okay.
I'll
get back to you on that.
This thing is going to be over with after 3 innings.
Can you end a game that quickly?
No.
Oh, you're saying.
And it's a beautiful thing for our show, too.
Figuratively.
There is no run rule here.
Oh, let's go.
Figuratively.
Oh, man. Make it 100-0. I love this show.
And I do, too. And we're going to be talking Texas baseball. So actually, we're going to be at 17-1 and be like, finish this thing so we can get to this.
Mm-hmm.
But I would gamble, man. This is the time to gamble. Risk, reward. There's enough reward and not too much of a risk for me.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Right. I think I saw a tweet that said David Pierce is going to make that decision today.
Think so.
Okay, so maybe we'll have that drop during our show, who the starting pitcher will be for Texas this Friday against Southern in the Austin Regional Opener.
I will not blame you, Coach Pierce, if this backfires, because right now on Tuesday, I think it's the right call.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you. I agree. I support KD's hypothesis.
Yeah, my b-hole is puckering up, too. Apparently, once we get to the postseason as a fan, I get even more superstitious, even more nervous. I can't help it, man. I can't help it. Good stuff. One and done. Well done. Talking Texas baseball. The Longhorns, once again, the number 2 overall national seed for the NCAA tournament. It's the triple option with RBKD. The NBA playoffs are going on. The players have made some storylines, but the headlines have come from the fans. What's going on with NBA fans? We discuss up next.
D.D. Mangudu.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain man comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time to get into a little off the record here, gentlemen. And, the NBA has just been crazy lately because of a lot of incidents of fan misconduct, fan misbehavior. We got several incidents now. We got the Trae Young spitting situation where a Knicks fan ended up spitting on Trae Young. We also have the situation most recently that was a streaker, but he was just a fan that ran onto the court. Remember that 76ers Wizards playoff game?
Security guard.
yeah, some NBA fan was tackled by the security guard. Yeah, he just ran onto the court. I don't even know why he did it or what happened. Of course, we do have the popcorn on Russell Westbrook, throwing that out there. I'm missing one of these, BK. What's another one? It was another incident.
The one we're about to talk about?
Well, that's just NBA. I will say the Astros and the Dodgers fans had a fight in the stands, too, last week.
That happens all the time. Well, I'm happy to see that again.
If the Dodgers are involved, for sure.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a valid point there. Well, recently we have another one. This one involves Kyrie Irving. Well, a fan, Jim, has been charged with assault and battery after throwing a water bottle, at Kyrie Irving. A Celtics fan who threw a water bottle at Brooklyn Nets point guard Kyrie Irving has been arrested on charges of assault and battery with a deadly weapon. I guess the water bottle was a deadly weapon.
That seems a little too far.
Speaking to USA Today, Boston Police Sergeant Detective John Boyle, the suspect, Cole Buckley, that's the name of the guy that threw the water bottle, from Braintree, Massachusetts, was arrested Sunday. Buckley will be arraigned Tuesday in Boston Municipal Court. Buckley is 21 years old, has also been banned from the TD Garden Arena for life. Yay. He has done. Also, Kyrie Irving, who is black, said after the incident, quote, "I've been in some hostile environments where a lot of things have been said to me, a lot of things have been done to me, done to my teammates, I should say, and I've experienced some type of subtle racism that I'm referring to, you know, where it's just underlying throughout the game." So he's saying that there's racist undertones here.
You know, I won't deny that Kyrie Irving has dealt with racism over his NBA career, and Boston has a reputation of being a racist town.
They got a reputation.
And it's a pretty well-deserved reputation, considering how many different athletes in various sports we've heard claim that Boston has racist sports fans. But I don't
including
Celtics too. I don't think there was racist intent with this. I just think it's a sports fan who's pissed because of what Kyrie Irving did in Boston. Like, Kyrie Irving signed a big contract with the Celtics and didn't really want to play a whole lot there, and left as soon as he could. And also, after the game came to an end at midcourt, Kyrie Irving stomped on the Celtic logo's head, and fans saw that. Now, does that justify a fan throwing a water bottle at him?
I take offense to that as an Irishman.
Absolutely not.
But that should be handled by the players on the court, like when Terrell Owens wanted to step on the star, and then George Teague was like, hey, man, we ain't having that. Right. That should be policed by the players on the court. If it is indeed disrespectful to the culture and to the history, all right, that's fine. Then let it be handled by the guys on the court. And none of the guys on the court stepped up. They just got their butts whipped and then let him step all over the eyeball of, what's his name, Larry the Leprechaun?
Lucky or something.
Lucky the Leprechaun, or whatever the hell his name is.
I don't know if they saw it take place, but yeah. No, believe me, that doesn't excuse. I mean, I wish I could have like a controversial or contrarian take here that fans are scumbag.
He's an idiot.
And he should be banned for life. And look, it might sound ridiculous that he's getting charged with assault with a deadly weapon by throwing a half-drinking water bottle.
That's a little fun.
I think it's just trying to send a message to sports fans everywhere.
Bingo.
Like, you got to stop doing this.
Right.
This is happening too much. I guess sports fans, look, this happens a decent amount, but because sports fans have been caged in for the last year and a half, not allowed to go to any sporting events, maybe there's more of a rush to do something like this, and maybe that's why we keep seeing it happen. But this is a message being sent to sports fans, like, stop doing stuff like this. Let the athletes play. They're humans, too. You can't be throwing stuff at them.
It is, and I know you're not giving a reason for it, but I've heard that nonstop, that the reason why all this is happening, not to apologize for it at all, is because people have been caged up. You're an adult, you know? I mean,
it's human decency.
Come on.
Just have some respect.
Like, really? I mean, for all this stuff to be going on, cut it out. And so I've got no problem with them sending a strong message. What I wanted to know, when I heard underlying racism, I'm like, well, what was said? Because I've heard athletes
John Moran's dad.
There was nothing underlying about being in Boston. I heard the N-word.
Yeah, remember Jay Moran's dad said that his family experienced some at the Utah Jazz game.
That's
why
Jazz,
they have to ban fans. Because
they also have a rep.
They also have a reputation, and some of those fans went too far in what they said to, like, his wife and to some of the members of his family. So, yeah, I wonder if it's just like you just said. It wasn't that particular incident, but just while you're going up and down the court.
Right.
You might have heard it.
Yeah.
You might have heard it from somebody.
No,
and it
not,
wasn't, and it wasn't in the
right
loving
there.
Way that Snoop Dogg uses it for shizzle
no.
my nizzle.
No. But you know what I'm saying, DK? When I heard underlying, I was like, okay, so you didn't really hear anything. You're just assuming it was racism because it's Boston and you played there and you probably have heard stuff before.
He probably has.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff's not underlying, right? I mean, if
no.
people are chanting racist stuff towards Kyrie Irving or anybody, that's not underlying.
It's pretty overt.
I don't think this water bottle thing had anything to do with Kyrie Irving being black. I just think it has to do with his history in Boston and him stomping on the logo. Now, once again, doesn't come close to justify the fan doing what he did, but like, it's going to sound dumb or contrarian, as I just said, I wouldn't have a contrarian take. Like, Kyrie Irving isn't like completely 100% off the hook here. Like, sports fans are fanatics, right? You talk about it all the time. And the definition mm-hmm. of fanatic is a person with an obsessive interest and enthusiasm for something, especially an activity. Sports fans are crazy.
Yeah.
Again, it doesn't justify throwing a water bottle at a guy, but, man, you say as ridiculous as it is, it's a logo. Why do you care that someone stomps on a logo? It's not a real person or anything like that. Some sports fans care that much about that type of stuff, to where if you do something like that, your chances of something happening to you, whether it's comments or something being thrown at you, increase a little bit. So, once again, doesn't justify the action by the fan, but I wasn't like completely shocked when I saw the video come out after the game of Kyrie stepping on the Celtics logo. I wasn't completely shocked or befuddled by the fact that somebody had or took some offense to that.
Yeah, I think we'd all agree though the incidents are starting to
pile up,
trend in the wrong direction. Yeah, you're getting a lot of these things happening in a short amount of time. Yes, it's probably because people have been cooped up, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, you got to deter this. You got to curtail this somehow. If I don't know how you got to do it, maybe a new fan code of conduct, but. You know, you've got a history in the NBA of players going into the stands and punching fans. Multiple occasions, by the way. It happened just once.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple occasions. Vernon Maxwell, Mad Max, just recently talked about it. He was like, if somebody disrespects you, you should go up and say something about it. Remember, he went up to the stands and punched some fan because the fan brought up his daughter that had died. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so he's like, he said, if I have to do it again, I'd do it again.
I don't blame Vernon.
Exactly. So sometimes it's like.
Sometimes you go too far.
You go too far. I think it was like his stillborn daughter, but still.
Okay.
Whatever it was. Right. Like, you went too far. Sometimes you deserve to get punched in the face.
Yeah.
And Mike Tyson said, people are getting way too comfortable not getting punched in the face. And he's totally right. And social media has made people way too comfortable with just being disrespectful. You know what I mean? And not knowing how to talk to people. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Freedom of speech. Everybody has freedom of speech. And in a society that's going to be a free society, that has got to be a staple of it. But responsible speech, which is how we talk to one another, how we address one another, that's on us.
Yeah.
That is the burden of a freed people. And we have somehow failed in trying to carry out that burden.
I'm seeing a lot of stuff mixed up, too, when I hear reactions to this on either sports radio or sports television, and that is that the NBA players have a certain rep right now, and I think it's fair that they're soft and that they can be babies about stuff. And all of a sudden, that's getting mixed up with this, and I think they're two separate arguments.
Good point.
I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah, by being sour, being a cupcake.
Being a cupcake. Well, it's like, okay, yes, on what you're talking about, but that has nothing to do with getting a water bottle thrown at you,
yeah.
Which there's no place for that at all.
Yeah, you still can't throw stuff at somebody. It's insane. We'll see if it happens again. Three NBA games tonight.
It is.
Of course,
we
still have like three plus rounds of playoff action to go in the NBA postseason.
Who said people didn't care about it, the NBA?
Oh, they care.
They care.
Back, baby. The fans are back. Unreal. We'll take your thoughts. 337-3776 is the Specs text line. It's the triple option with RBKD. Alongside Kevin Dunn and Rod Babers, I am BK Brad Kellner. When we return, some Texas baseball conversation. We'll preview the Austin Regional and give some love to a Texas team that won a national championship this weekend.